Welcome to Photomission Focus Discussing Photography. Hi, I'm Steve Finkel. On this episode of Focus, I'm flying solo. On this episode of Focus, I want to talk about change and what's happening in the world around us and the world of photography. And just, I suppose, change was one of those things that we kind of accepted and knew things would change. But from year to year, day to day, things would be fairly constant. So you knew when you woke up tomorrow morning, things will be pretty much similar to how they were the morning before, and so on and so on. And change, for the main part, has been a kind of a slow burn. It's just been kind of something in the background that things are, you know, the cogs are turning very slowly, and things, you know, around us change from time to time, but not with a great kind of rush or great speed. But what we're seeing now in the world with a whole range of different things is we're seeing change happening at an accelerated rate. And, you know, this is flowing into all aspects of life. So all aspects of life, we're seeing things change. We're seeing the way, you know, transportation with types of vehicles that we use is changing, and that's changing more and more. Like, we're seeing more and more electric vehicles on the market, and a whole range of technologies with AI and that type of thing kind of biting into all different areas. And I suppose over the last few weeks, I've been playing more and more with, I suppose, the AI content of photography and just experimenting to see how I can maybe use that in my workflow, and just trying to, I suppose, rather than reject it and thinking, but working out how it can be an actual benefit for me. But I'm kind of, must admit, like, I'm impressed with the way some of the features work but I'm kind of scared at the same time of how quickly we're seeing things happen. We're just seeing the changes and the improvements where it's just getting so good that it's really, sometimes when I do an edit and I might substitute out the background with an AI generated background, that it has done it so well that it's just so totally believable as a photograph, that it's totally, you know, you can believe that that could have been taken. It could have been just shot like that rather than being kind of created using software to do it. And I think as photographers, like I said, a lot of people, and their initial reaction to change is to buck the system and not actually want to change. But I think as photographers, we have to accept that things are changing, and the way we're going to kind of work as photographers moving forward into the future is going to be a constant change. I think it's going to be at a speed now where 20 years ago, if you were a photographer and your daily routine of photography, things happened at a particular, like I said, a particular speed, and you kind of knew where all the goalposts were, and you actually knew, you know, where everything sat and how long it took to get there. What's happened today as a photographer is we're just seeing, like I said, this accelerated move forward of the way technology is implementing, particularly into the creative space. So, you know, as creatives, it's always been about the person and what that person can do and the ideas that they have and the way they could execute those ideas and present them to the world has been kind of that's what's made people, one person stand out over another person, is their ability to be able to create something that someone else hadn't created. But now what we're seeing now is we're seeing more and more people being able to create stuff. And again, it's kind of like, is it good or is it bad? Or, I mean, I think the jury's out on whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, because some people will think it's a good thing and other people will think it's a bad thing. And I know, look, a lot of people still hang on to the idea that, you know, real photography is film photography. And for me, growing up, that's how I learned photography. I learned photography by, you know, putting a roll of film in the camera, understanding the limitations of the film and what it could capture, and being able then to work, I suppose, you know, do some work around how I could capture something. If I had an idea of a photo, knowing the limitations of what the medium I had in front of me was, that then I would work out how I could do something. So, you know, things like where I wanted to, you know, create a double exposure, on a piece of film. I had to kind of work through that process, how I could actually manipulate the camera in such a way that it would expose two separate scenes on the one frame, with a hope of actually pulling it off, that it actually, when it was developed, would actually look like plausible, would actually look like it could be real, or it could be an image that people would find fascinating or exciting or whatever. And that was a real challenge to do that. So, and I think some of the allure of that type of thing was that challenge. It was about knowing that you had a difficult path in front of you, but if you kind of kept chipping away at it and trying new ideas and tweaking your techniques and doing stuff, that eventually you could get to your gold in a particular space of time. And typically that space of time was a fairly long timeline. Now I can do the exact same things like I wanted to do when I was in my 20s with the technologies that's available today, but I can actually do it virtually in a click of the fingers. I can basically have an idea, wake up with an idea and go, I've got this idea, I want to be able to create this image, and then I just think about what's available to me with the current software and different things out there, and then work out how I can create that image, and then be able to very simply be able to execute, and like I said, in a very short space of time, actually have an image that I had once, was just sitting in my head as an idea, and now is actually a reality, and I can see it on my computer screen. And again, the speed that this is happening is the thing I think that I'm kind of blown away from. And I know there's still a lot of people out there in the photography space, in the creative space, who are still kind of sitting back, and they hear all the chatter, they hear all the noise of the AI in the background of people talking about it, but they haven't actually really, I suppose, gone into it very deeply. Rather than, they might have read a few articles, but they haven't actually done a deep dive and started, playing. Yes, there's people I know who have really embraced it 100% and jumped in there, and they're creating stuff left, right and center using AI. But still, I think there's a huge portion of the photography community who are kind of sitting on their hands, so to speak, and not actually kind of, I suppose, dabbling in there and having a look, and just and some, for different reasons. Like some people go, I don't need to do it, I'm quite happy with what I'm creating using the processes that I've currently used and have used for many, many years. And I think that's fine, but I think it's good to know what's out there. And I think it's always good to, as a creative, it's always good to be exploring and look at what else is around, and just, I suppose, tinker with those things just to see what they can do. And I think a lot of people who have gone down that path, once they've started tinkering and they've started kind of, poking around with these AI type programs and products and different things, have actually come like to understand that how they like using them, because it helps them achieve something that was once hard to achieve but now much easier to achieve. And it doesn't take away the creative process, the fact that you still have to have an idea. I mean, you still have to be able to have a concept or have an idea for it to be your idea. I mean, if you just let the thing randomly generate something, then that's not really your idea. It's not really where you're going. But if you've got a vision in your head, if you've got a vision of something you want to create, and then you work out how you use those tools around you, that AI tools, to actually be able to then create that exact image that you had in your head. And that's what I tend to do. I mean, I'll have ideas for an image, and I'll see something and I go, geez, I'd really like to create an image that had this particular look to it. And I might go about trying to find a location or trying to find a way to achieve that. And that may take quite some time to do that. And sometimes, like, there's images that I've never been able to actually create, the ideas that I've had, and I've just never been able to find the right place to shoot it, or I've never been able to find the way to create it in a way that, for me, it actually looks the way that I see it in my head. Because sometimes when I try and create it using, you know, something like AI, it doesn't quite look right. It just doesn't feel right. But again, on other times, I'll come up with something and it just feels perfect. Like it's just like it's ticked all the boxes. So I'm kind of like blown away by how good it's actually been able to create something that I was, you know, thinking and be able to actually create it and put it into the real world. So I think it's kind of time, like photographers and as creatives, that we have to, I suppose, understand that things are moving and they're moving quicker than most people, like I said, most people actually have realized. Once people start really, I suppose, looking over their shoulder and just seeing this stuff that's just creeping up so quickly that they, like I said, when they really kind of, I suppose, look at it seriously without kind of dismissing it. I mean, like I said, there's people who are purists and there's nothing wrong with being a purist in your creative field, whether it be, you know, whatever it is. And again, like we've seen this in all aspects of, you know, the creative industries that, you know, there's techniques now where people can create something without kind of doing the hard yards. They can get there much quicker. But there's people who want to actually do the blood, sweat and tears. They want to put all that effort in. That's a part of, for them, that's a part of the process and that's a part of the allure of creating something is the fact that they know that they've actually done all the work. They've done the planning, they've done the execution and they've done, created this thing at the end of it. And it's been through their, like I said, through their own efforts and they haven't kind of used some other way of achieving it because some people feel like that is a form of cheating. And for other people, it's like that's for them is the new world. And I think the thing we've got happening that, you know, as younger people discover photography today, they're actually discovering it at a time very different to the era when I discovered photography. Because the era when I discovered photography, for the main part, it was kind of like this magical process that, you know, a lot of people didn't understand the process of how an image was actually created and how an image could be, I suppose, formed. They just knew that people could do this and it was kind of like, you know, the black box thing. It's just something there that's just doing something. We're not sure what it's doing, but I like what it does. You know, I like the result type of thing. And for me, like I said, when I started in photography, that was the allure of just the whole process of how the different components come together. So obviously the using the camera and using techniques to, you know, like I said, working within the limitations of film and what you could do with film and particularly under different lighting scenarios is able to look at how you can manipulate that and then get a result. And then once the film is exposed, then the process of actually developing the film. And then once you had the film, then the process of actually printing images. And at all those stages, there was opportunities to vary the outcome because you could change things as you went along. With the camera, you could change things with the film, the way it was processed, and you could definitely change things with the way the image was printed. So you had all these different things to do. And then when someone who was kind of, I suppose, a layperson saw your result, they were quite impressed that you were able to do this, you know, particularly if you were doing it in a home dark room, like people were just beyond kind of, you know, I can't believe you did that at home type of thing. You know, I can't believe you made that image and all that type of stuff. And again, it's because people didn't understand, I suppose, the process. And there was that allure that because people didn't understand. And when you kind of started to understand photography and the processes, for a lot of people, that was the hook. That was the thing that got you involved. That thing that's got you wanting to keep creating images. And I've kind of been through that era. So, and like I said, now for people coming into photography now, young people coming in and picking up, you know, they've maybe started their first. I think for, you know, the younger generation, their first experience of photography is now through a camera phone. That's their kind of first introduction to photography, and they start, you know, shooting pictures on their phone, and they shoot. One day they shoot a picture that they look at and they really like the elements in that picture. Then there's something that says to them, oh, I really like the way this looks because the way the light was falling, the angle that I shot it at. And then they start to kind of think, oh, maybe I can create more images that look similar to this, and that's the kind of, I suppose, the start of it. But then the tools that are available to that person now are phenomenal, like the stuff that they can do with those images, how they can just take them in. I mean, even within camera phones these days, they, you know, have all these built-in kind of software that allows you, you know, things like Magic Eraser, where there's people in the background at the beach and you want to be portray it that you're at the beach, it's a private beach, and you're there by yourself and there's no one else on the beach. That there's tools in the phones now where when you take a picture that you can actually then remove people from the background so it looks like you're the only person on the beach. And again, these are like becoming so commonplace, these tools. And for the younger generation, people, that is just the way they look at photography, that they, when they're composing a picture, they're not really worried that there's other people in the picture. Where back in the day, when I'd go to a place and I was trying to create a picture and I was trying to maybe had a person as a subject in that photo, I'd quite often wait for the right time when there was no one else in the frame so I could actually get that frame of that person in that location by themselves to give, I suppose, to tell the story that that person was on the beach by themselves or whatever. And the real fact was that, you know, it was being shared by, you know, potentially hundreds of other people. But again, there was these windows of opportunity where you could actually take a photograph and just get that moment where nothing was kind of happening in the background and you could just grab it. And this is a very typical thing I did because I traveled a lot when I was younger and I'd take a lot of shots when I traveled around the world to various different places. And particularly going to places that were iconic, where people would see a picture and there's, you know, iconic pictures where people portrayed the particular place in a particular way. Reality is that if it was a popular tourist location, typically it was swarming with tourists. So again, when you were there, it was kind of quite often timing was the key thing where you were trying to, and the way you compose the photo, it might be that you shot it tighter than you probably want to, but by shooting it tighter, it means that it gave you more of an opportunity to exclude things from the image that you didn't want. Whereas today, with the technologies that's available today, that, you know, I could shoot that same photo and I could shoot it pretty much as wide as I want, and then I could use various different tools to then be able to manipulate that image to portray, I suppose, the image I had in my head of that standing there looking at this particular building or looking at this particular location and being able to look straight at it and not have any disruptions in the way. So again, it's like changed the way, you know, we see photography, and the way we see photography has been changed forever and it's going to continue to change. It's just going to be now we're on this kind of, I suppose, roller coaster ride with these ups and downs, where photography is going to be kind of hitting these highs and dropping down to these lows and then flying back up to these highs. But the speed of that roller coaster is, like I said, it's on steroids. It's actually moving so quickly now that we, like I said, it's for me, like being coming from a point where things moved quite slowly and things didn't change too much. Like I said, you know, you wake up one morning and you pretty much knew how the next day was going to pan out because it was going to be the same as the day before. You pretty much knew the next month was going to pan out. And you pretty much knew how the next year was going to pan out. So as you went through life, things were changing, but they were very slow changes. And when things are slow changes, sometimes you don't even notice the change so much. It's kind of like, I always think, interestingly, when you live in a city and you travel to the same locations every day for work or for play or whatever it is, that you're passing all these different places. Skylines, landscapes in modern cities are constantly changing. There's, you know, buildings being renovated, there's buildings being pulled down, there's buildings being put up. So the skyline and all these different things are changing dramatically. But as a kind of a, if you're a regular commuter into those areas, that the changes are kind of happening there, but you don't kind of, I suppose, notice it so much, that it's not happening. It's not happening at a speed where, you know, you come in and next day there's a whole new building where another building previously stood and you go, oh, well, that wasn't there yesterday. It's very slow burn. And I think what happens is, and then when you have someone or yourself, you go to a city where you had spent a lot of time and you travelled a particular route and you hadn't been there for 5 years, and all of a sudden you go back to that city and you travel that route again and you see all these changes, like you just, it is, it's like bang, 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 all these different things that have happened while you've been away in that 5 years, but you've missed that. And again, that's what I think is, we're now kind of, like I said, seeing these changes in the creative industry on this accelerated rate. So we're actually seeing stuff happen much, much quicker than it previously did. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's actually something that the world's changing, and it's going to continue to change. It's going to continue to change the way we do stuff. And I suppose we have to adapt and understand what's happening around us. And that said, it's sometimes you don't have to actually go 100% with the flow, but it's actually, I think you need to understand what's happening around you, because at some point, things that you love doing in photography or in the creative fields are going to be changed, and you're going to have no choice at some point to maybe change the way you do things, because things may not be available for you. I mean, it's like older analog equipment. Sometimes now, some of that older analog equipment, which we loved using, once it breaks and stops functioning, sometimes it's difficult to get repaired or difficult to get parts for. So quite often we have to adapt and change. And this has been, I suppose, my whole life has been about, you know, as things break or change, when I'm looking for the next thing that I can implement to do that job, that it's going to do it slightly different. And then I have to relearn that skill, or I have to then accept that that's the way that that is done. And like I said, I think we just have to accept that the way things will be done in the future are going to be so much different to the way things have been done in the past. And I think it's, like I said, we're on this kind of ride at the moment. And like I said, it's just getting faster and faster and faster. And like I said, not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it's also, like I said, going to be challenging for people. I think that's the biggest thing, is for people to be, people are challenged by change. And, you know, for most of us, like I said, you know, we kind of don't know what change is going to bring to the table. So sometimes that's why there's a fear of change as well. When you have constants in your life and things that are kind of happening that you're kind of aware of, that you know that something is going to do play out in a particular way, and you're comfortable with that because you actually know that process and you're not kind of scared by it. The minute that things change and you're not so much in control, or you're not being able to steer the boat as much, that's where people start to kind of, I suppose, get fearful of what's going to happen and where technology is going to go. There's lots of talk about things being, people being replaced by AI and that type of thing, but I think the human spirit has always been about creating, and from the early times of civilization, that people have wanted to create, you know. And you think about the buildings that we create, you know, if you think about a building only needs to do one purpose, and it just needs to be able to shelter you from the weather. You know, if you're build a structure so you can climb inside when it's pouring of rain, or get out of the midday sun's heat or whatever. The building just needs to be, you know, for all intents and purposes, it just needs to be a box with, you know, waterproof materials that you can sit inside when you need to. But what did we do as humans? We just didn't build boxes like that. We built these buildings that we added all this decorative, ornate style to. Like, people weren't happy just to build a box. They wanted to then show something about their creativity. So a builder would build a building and then have all these extra to it, which again is about the human spirit, about the human spirit of creativity, how we actually like to create something that's different, and how we've always done it. And that's happened from day dot. We've always had that kind of passion burning inside. So I don't think that's ever going to go away, but the way we're going to kind of, I suppose, express ourselves in the future is going to be different, because we've got to have different ways to use that creativity inside how we kind of express ourselves. So I hope this has got you thinking about change and where you're sitting and how you feel, and how do you feel about change? How do you feel about where technology is taking you with your craft? Are you at comfort with it yet, or are you still kind of at loggerheads where you kind of still want to buck the system and say, no, I don't want to change it, I'm just going to keep doing what I normally do? But it's always, I think, to keep an open mind in everything we do in life is important, because like I said, the one thing that we're, you know, guaranteed in life is change. Like something that's, you know, is always going to be different about our life. And like I said, we're starting to see the weather patterns changing. You know, there's things changing around us that didn't happen when we were younger. So we just kind of need to strap ourselves in and, you know, for the ride and basically work our way through and how we navigate and how we kind of, I suppose, accept it. And like I said, I'm at that point now where I'm kind of really starting to accept some of the changes that are happening around the crater fields and how I can, like I said, how I'm embracing them and using them in different ways and getting, I suppose, generating a lot of joy by doing those things. So I hope you've been enjoying your photography. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast. And I hope that, like I said, this one maybe got you thinking about, you know, the future of photography, the future of the creative industries and how they will move forward in the future. And like I said, until next time, enjoy your photography, enjoy creating, and we'll talk again real soon. See ya.